Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 125 of the milk bar. Jason on my own again this week. Zoe claims to be away on holiday still. She forgot to tell me. But I reckon as we're recording this on Halloween, she's probably out dressed as a witch somewhere, which is quite a disturbing concept, to be fair, based on her usual outfits. So we'll see what happens. She'll probably be in the papers sometime over the next week. Now, coming up today on the show, we'll be hearing from Jamie Angus from South Thatts Council, who will be telling us all about their current goings-on. And also, we have, should we call it an advertisement feature? I think we probably should. Adam Granger, hello, sir.
Hello.
Now, you're here with us from Wolves Mobile.
I am indeed.
We'll be talking all about your latest offerings very soon. But first of all, we have a gentleman who's bringing us both music and laughter and being our first guest on the phone tonight, and that is Jay Foreman.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Now, we find you just ahead of appearing on stage of part of Dave Gorman's tour across the UK with his PowerPoint presentation. You are opening up for him, aren't you, at the moment?
That's right, and at the moment I'm in the dressing room waiting to go on in Milton Keynes, of all places.
Well, that sounds classy.
It sounds classy, but whether it is classy, you'd have to judge for yourself if you came here.
So, what's it like coming on to a big tour with a very well-known comedian, when in reality you're a very well-known comedian who's done some quite good work up and down the country and particularly great shows at the Edinburgh Fringe?
Well, compared to the kind of audiences I'm used to, this is quite a shock to me, because every night on average on this tour, there's something like 900 to 1,000 people. So it's a learning curve for me, but it's really fantastic. It's a lot of fun. And I get to see parts of the country that I never otherwise would have seen before.
Like Milton Keynes?
The Hereford.
Right, so you've been here, there and everywhere. And you are coming to Wolverhampton in the latter part of November.
That's right. Some places I've not yet been, so I'm looking forward to that a lot.
Oh, that's going to be a new experience for you as well.
It is. Although, a lot of the time, we don't really get time to actually look around the city that we're in. Sometimes, depending on what time we'll get there, we'll just come straight out of the van, go into the dressing room, do the show, and then leave. But hopefully for Wolverhampton, there'll be time to walk around and admire the sights.
Yeah, there's plenty to see. But it must be, say, quite strange. You say you're playing to larger audiences than you're necessarily used to doing, because you're probably playing something like the Glee Club, where you get 400, 500, 600 in.
I thought you were saying 4, 5, 6 people in.
It's not that bad, is it?
Well, not really. I have done gigs like that, and a lot of them are enjoyable, but no, these are very different.
Are you able to get as much audience interaction as you would like? Because when you're doing music as part of your comedy, it's probably slightly different to standing up and telling a few jokes and trying to abuse the person in the front row.
Well, a lot of stand-ups rely on abusing people in the front row, and you need to be able to look them in the eye and sort of riff on whoever happens to be sitting there. And because I do music, I don't have to do that quite as much. But I still find myself trying to talk to the audience. And in venues like this, it's quite difficult, because you've got the light blinding you. And I now understand why comedians always pick on the front row, is because that's the only people that you can see. But the thing that I really enjoy about the smaller venues is the ability to look every single audience member in the eye. And if you spot somebody nodding off, you can just stare at them for a couple of seconds to bring them back in. Whereas in the venues like this, you just sort of look into the darkness and assume that you're making eye contact with someone.
And as long as you're getting some noise back, you're quite happy.
Yeah.
And what was it like for you up in Edinburgh this year? Hopefully you made a profit, although that's relatively unlikely based on the way most Edinburgh shows go.
Funnily enough, I don't find out until the end of this week, because they take such a long time with dealing with the finances from the Edinburgh show that we don't find out whether I made a profit until the money comes through. But apparently it's looking good, so I got my fingers crossed for that. That's not why you go to Edinburgh. You don't go for the money. You go for the rough and tumble and the joy of making people laugh. That's why I was there.
And did that also get you some nice good work like the Dave Gorman's gig?
It did, yeah. It all sprang from that. That's how he found me, and that's what resulted in this tour that I'm taking part in now.
Mm-hmm. And how does your set that you've been doing in Edinburgh and what you would normally do when you're out gigging compare to what you're doing for this show?
Well, the thing about this show is, because there's so many people that haven't seen me before, I've basically been given a license to perform whatever material I like. So it's just half an hour in which I do sort of the best of. So unlike Edinburgh, where each year I'm under pressure to come up with a completely new show so that people can see me year after year and constantly get new things, this time round, I'm just doing my favourite half an hour of my own material. So a lot of it was in Edinburgh this year, and even more of it was in Edinburgh the year before.
So it's recycling at its finest?
Pretty much, yeah.
Now, we're going to hear some of your music tonight, and you know, again, it's musical comedy can be quite difficult because you've not only got to be funny, you've also got to write a tune to go along with it. How on earth did you get yourself into this position?
Well, funny enough, when I started, I didn't really think of what I was doing as comedy at all. I was doing open mic night in university. I was at uni in York, and a lot of people had guitars and were playing in the open mic nights in the little bars on campus. And I joined in. Pretty much most people that were doing guitar stuff were singing indie covers or whiny songs about their ex-girlfriends. And what I did, just for a cry of attention, really, was I did songs that had funny lyrics. And it went from there, really. People started appreciating my stuff and buying my CD. And then very slowly over the years, I realized that what I was doing was actually a lot closer to stand-up comedy than folk music. And now what's happened is I've actually made the conscious decision to act like a comedian, which means standing up, which means actually talking to members of the audience and even coming up with actual jokes to go between the songs.
But the most important investment for you then was the guitar strap so you could actually stand.
That was the most sensible £4.99 I'd ever spent.
Brilliant move. Now, Pretend You're Happy was the show in 2010. Now, that's the one that got you picked up by the BBC and a New Talent Award for that. Did that come with free money, or was that purely just something to stick on the posters?
It was just something to stick on the posters. I mean, the same goes for all the awards that you might get, either at Edinburgh or any other comedy events around the country. They don't normally result in anything financial or anything significant, and it doesn't usually mean that you've done anything that important. But the good thing about these accolades is that you can put them on your flyers, you can put them on your promotional material, and it can sort of beef it up and make it to just draw attention to people.
It's getting that attention and getting bums on seats as well, which is the really difficult part, when you, particularly when you're somewhere like Edinburgh and you're completely snowed under. So, yeah, Jay Foreman, we're living in the future. There's got to be a reason to go.
Yeah, exactly. So I had to come up with quotes that talked about the show from the year before and all sorts of strange things to put on the flyer just to sort of beg people to come and see the show. Because when you're in Edinburgh, you're in competition with thousands of other things that they could see and hundreds of other things that they could see in your time slot. So it really has to stand out.
And how does the CDs that you put together, how is that formed? Is there a complete recording of We're Living in the Future from this year's Edinburgh Fringe?
No, so far there hasn't actually been any CDs that correspond to a complete show. What most people do is when they bring out a new album, they come up with new songs and they put a whole new bunch of songs together. What I do is I re-release the same album every year and a half or so, a CD called 20 Songs, but I update the track list. It always has 20 songs, but every few years I get rid of some and then put some new ones on so that hopefully each year it gets a better and better album. That's the lazy way out, really. I'll tell you why. It's because every time I do these gigs and I want to be able to sell my wares at the end and sell my CD, it makes much more sense for me to have one product that people could take away than say, would you like to buy my back catalogue? I have 7 different albums, each one of them 8 tracks long. This one's not very good, but this one's a bit better. Instead, it's better to sort of hone it down to one CD, which means updating my track list every year or so. That's the way I've been doing it.
And that way you're just at home burning the things off on the computer.
Yeah, that's how I've been doing it so far. Although we were selling quite a lot, so I finally had a professional bunch ordered. But for the first 2 weeks of this tour, I was spending every free minute I had just sat on my laptop going, right-click, burn, copy, right-click, burn, copy, making new and new CDs.
You got through 400 or so laptops as well as a fair few boxes of CDs.
They're all breaking.
Well, it is the 21st of November that you arrive at the Civic Hall in Wolverhampton. The box office on 0870 320 7000. You can pick up tickets that way. And give us a bit of a sneak preview as to what Dave gets up to as well with his PowerPoint presentation.
The clue is in the name. It's basically just him standing. Well, someone wrote an online review on their blog, and it was written, we think it was written by a 14-year-old. We can't quite tell, but it said, Dave basically stands there and talks about himself. Which is true, but that isn't the entire story. It's him and PowerPoint doing a very funny show. That's pretty much all I can say.
Well, having read a few of his books and noticed that him talking about himself can be very, very entertaining, I'm sure that's not going to put anybody off at all. Jay, thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Now, we're going to explore some of your music. First up, not that we are suggesting you should go out and thieve here, but you have a little ditty called Stealing Food that we're going to listen to first. And,
yeah, I wrote in my student days.
So it is actually autobiographical.
Semi-autobiographical. I think the first two verses are something a bit close to the truth, but then you'll hear as the song goes on that it gets more and more silly as it goes on.
And you
but
would
if you ever lived in a shared accommodation with other students, then you'll know the kind of mood I was in when I wrote this song.
I had shared accommodation with students, and because of the usage of the Andrex, we used to enforce signing of the final sheet on your toilet tissue to ensure you were the last person who'd used it.
Wow.
It's
brutal. That's horrible.
It was extreme, and we never trusted Chris in the house, but there we go. Jay, once again, thank you for joining us. Enjoy the tour, have a great time, and hopefully I'll be able to sneak along and see you when you play Wolverhampton on the 21st of November.
Okay, thanks very much.
Cheers. Try for now.
Bye, cheers. Bye.
Stealing food, stealing food, stealing food, food, food. Eating what belongs to others puts me in a good mood. Though my friends say that I shouldn't, there is nothing that I wouldn't steal. Food, 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 food. I'm a veritable gastronomic kleptomaniac. While my friends are having dinner is when I like to attack. I say, look what's that behind you, and they turn around to see. Then I finish what they're eating and I say it wasn't me. Stealing food, stealing food, stealing food, food, food. Chiefing chips and pinching Pringles puts me in a good mood. Food is so much more delicious if my friends are all suspicious. Stealing food, 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 food. Now the most efficient way to satisfy your appetite is to eat from your friend's cupboards in the middle of the night. But no matter if you're tempted, you should never take the lot. Leave the packaging behind, remind them what they haven't got. Stealing food, stealing food, stealing food, food, food. When I risk it for a biscuit, then I'm in a good mood. It's the best of all decisions, going klepto on provision. Stealing food, 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 food. At the local supermarket, they've got food on every shelf. Simply hide it in your jumper, you can take it for yourself. If the camera doesn't see you and you're relatively quick, you can fill yourself for days with all the things that you can nick. Stealing food, stealing food, stealing food, food, food. Runawaying without paying puts me in a good mood. With my method tried and tested, I will never be arrested. Stealing food, 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 food. On the A1M in Hatfield there's a warehouse, yes that's right. Massive lorry loads of food go in and out all day and night. If you're clever with your timing and there's 10 of you at least, you'll be driving home a lorry with a veritable feast. Stealing food, stealing food, stealing food, food, food. Jacking lorry loads from Sainsbury's puts me in a good mood. Stealing, 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 stealing. Food, 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 food. Pinch the peanuts, nick the knick-knacks, take the tea bags, burgle the beef burgers, grab the grape juice, rob the rice cakes, heist the hobnobs, volley les vol-au-vent, lift the Lurpak, snatch the snacker jacks, jack the Jaffa cakes, pick up the penguins, yoink the yum-yums, swipe the sweeties, stealing food.
Well, we certainly don't condone stealing. Please do not try that at home. But Jay, as he said, it's not completely autobiographical. He is safe if you see him around Sainsbury's, okay? But there we go. Right, back to the phones we go. And now Jamie Angus joins us from South Staffs Council. How are you today, sir?
I'm not too bad, thanks, Jason. My body's still sort of trying to get used to the fact that it's dark an hour early. But apart from that, I'm well.
Well, if it's any consolation, I'm actually heading off tomorrow to Norway, where it's going to be, number one, even darker. Number two, back on British summertime. So I'm just going to be completely confused. I know that much, but there we are. So what's going on in South Staffs? Because there's loads of stuff taking place as we head through November.
Yeah, we're getting pretty busy now in the lead up to, dare I say, Christmas. But we've got one big message coming out of our leisure team, and that is it's not too late to get yourself in shape for Christmas. So if you're trying to get into that party frock for the Christmas do, or if you want to perhaps overindulge over Christmas, but perhaps without the guilt, we've got a really good new offer on at our leisure centre, so you can make the most of that in the lead up to Christmas. So join before the 15th of November, pay a small fee, and then get December completely free.
And get yourself along to the website to have a look at that one too, I'm guessing?
Yeah, that's right. All the info is at www.sstaffs.gov.uk/promotions, or you can contact any one of our leisure centres at Chesin Hay, Codsall, Penkridge or Wandon for more details directly.
And with the recent half term, you've just completed yet another sussed set of events and another success, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it seems to have gone down really well again. We've had lots of activities going on at all the leisure centres, keeping the kids out of the parents' hair for the whole half-term week. And they'll actually be coming back again for a few activities over the Christmas break as well. So when the kids are bored, probably about 20 minutes after they've finished opening their presents, parents can start thinking about what they're going to do with the kids for the rest of the holiday. But for the leisure centres, we're going to be having activities going on throughout most of Christmas. So, there'll be more info on the website over the coming weeks on that one as well.
And what else have you got happening? Because it is that time of year when you're doing quite a lot of work around the communities as well.
Yeah, we are. We've got a lot going on. In particular, we are opening a whole new sort of raft of job clubs in the district. I think we've got six open, or it's our fifth or sixth opening later this week. We've got job clubs in Purton, Featherston, Bilbrook and Codsall, Wombourne, and I think Huntington's the next one that opens, and that opens on Thursday. We've teamed up with a few of the local housing associations and Job Centre Plus and the Connections as well, to offer some free drop-in sessions for people who are looking for work. And we've got experts on hand to give advice about interview skills, CV writing, all that sort of stuff. So all that information, again, is online at www.southstaffsworkcafe.co.uk. And they can also follow that link on Twitter, and they can find it on Facebook as well.
And are your Christmas lights on yet, or is it actually a switch on during the month of November?
Well, Southstaffs, we're a little different to our counterparts at Wolverhampton and the other towns. It's actually parish councils that deal with the switching on of village lights. So each individual parish and village will be doing their own sort of switch on ceremony, no doubt, in the next few weeks. It's not one we tend to get involved with.
I bet you still go along for the big switch on, though, don't you?
You're there
with your little torch, wandering the streets, looking for a celebrity.
It's nice to get involved in the festive spirit.
And is there actually much going on for staff parties and the like at the council? Do you get away with that sort of thing, or is it you're all too busy, I'm guessing?
Oh, we're way too busy. We're way too busy. It's certainly going to be a long couple of months leading up to Christmas for our planners. We've just had today the plans from Jaguar Land Rover. Obviously, they're hoping to build a new £350 million plant on the I-54 South Staffordshire site on the Wolverhampton-Staffordshire border. They've submitted their plans today. Hopefully, that will go before our planning committee before Christmas, and that could be a great Christmas present with 750 new jobs being promised to come from that.
And when do you reckon they're going to be breaking ground on that one, should everything go to plan?
Well, I think they're hoping for the site to be fully operational within 2 years. So that would be it's fantastic news, not only for the British car industry at long last, but it's great news for the local economy, and it's sort of a shot in the arm that Staffordshire and the Black Country really needs at the moment. So that's going to be a very busy time for our planners as they go through what is no doubt a long list of papers to deal with that. But in the long term, this is going to be massive news for the area, and hopefully 750 new jobs winging their way to Staffordshire and the Black Country.
Yep, and no chance for them to get time off to do their Christmas shopping. They're going to be too busy going through that little lot by the sounds of things.
Too right. This is one of the biggest planning applications we've had to deal with for a long time. And obviously, it is really, really important. Jaguar Land Rover, a company of that sort of size and magnitude, coming to Staffordshire, is massive news. And we want to make sure we get this right, because it is massive for the local economy. So the big cat is coming to town.
Mm-hmm. Anything else we need to know about before we let you go?
We have launched a brand new Facebook page.
Ooh.
So anybody who happens to love Bagridge Country Park, especially if you're one of the 145,000 people who came to visit it last year, you can now get daily updates from what's going on at the park by liking our Facebook page. That's www.facebook.com/Bagridge. And there's loads of cool stuff going on there every day. The park rangers are are doing plenty of stuff, even over the winter. They're out fixing things, mending things, and getting things ready for the springtime. But yeah, you can keep up to date with everything that's going on at the park on Facebook now.
Jamie, thank you for joining us as ever. Lovely to speak to you. I look forward to catching up with what's going on in the early part of next year in a few weeks' time.
Cheers, Jason. Thanks very much.
Ciao for now.
Cheers.
Right, let's take some more music from Jay Foreman. This time, it's a little tune about Martin. He was a monkey.
Martin was a monkey. He lived in London Zoo. He had a monkey tire and a monkey tree branch too. But Martin wasn't happy there. He sat and dreamt all day about the thing he wanted most, a skiing holiday. He'd shoot off down the mountain and whiz across the snow. He'd slalom in between the flags. He couldn't wait to go. But he never did go skiing. He couldn't go because Martin was a monkey, and a monkey's what he was. He told his friends about it. They thought that it was daft. They laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. But he left his branch, he left his tree, he leapt upon the floor. But he couldn't leave the cage because a lock was on the door. He talked to the zookeepers, he asked to be set free. But nobody would listen, 'cause they couldn't speak monkey. He never did go skiing. He couldn't go because Martin was a monkey, and a monkey's what he was. He stood and looked out from the cage. It simply wasn't fair. Why did he have to stay inside when skiing was out there? But that's the way life was, and there was nothing he could do. It seemed that all things had a place, and his was in the zoo. So Martin never got his dream. He simply sat and cried. He spent his life in London Zoo until the day he died. He never did go skiing. He couldn't go because Martin was a monkey, and a monkey's what he was. A monkey's what he was. A monkey's what he was.
Martin was a monkey from Jay Foreman. We have another tune on the way from him very soon. We're going a little prehistoric next time round. Tell you about that in a minute. But first of all, joined in the studio by Adam Granger from Wolves Mobile. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. You?
I'm good. And all excited for the launch of the new Wolves Mobile pay-as-you-go service on the 5th of November.
Absolutely. Very exciting. We're pleased to announce that Wolves will be the very, very first football club in the UK to have their very own branded mobile phone network.
So what does this mean to a supporter who wants to buy a mobile phone? They're looking for probably good value and a convenient way of being able to use a service, but also, you know, the brand loyalty there, and Wolves obviously a big name and big part of their lives.
Definitely. I think the most important thing is Wolves Mobile is the same as your likes of your Asda Mobile, Orange, O2. It's in the same ballpark. So it's a massive thing and groundbreaking in the UK. So it's great to see Wolves showing the way. More importantly, pay-as-you-go is quite expensive, and it's renowned for being quite expensive. But times are hard and people do want a budget. So there's a lot more people turning to pay-as-you-go. And Wolves can announce that they're offering some very, very, very cheap rates.
It does put you in control. You choose how much you're going to spend. If you run out of credit, people can ring you. But it's your choice on the amount you're actually putting away each month. And if you look at buying the right kind of deal and your friends and family are on the same network, it can be particularly cheap.
Absolutely. I've got 2 points there. First of all, you can top up how you would normally do if you're on pay-as-you-go. So you can ring us and speak to a human being in England. You can also pop into your shop and the local PayPoint, PayZones, and top up there and get your code there. So it's exactly the same way as you would normally top up. The most important thing is it's cheap. Mm-hmm. So take Orange for an example. It's 25 pence a minute at the moment. Wolves Mobiles is only 11 pence a minute. And then if you get your whole family on Wolves Mobile and you all pay as you go, you can talk to each other for only 5 pence a minute, which is unheard of and really cheap.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. And the way in which you would top up, say, you literally just go to your shop, buy the voucher and put it onto your phone. So it's not really any different to any other network from that point of view.
Not at all. Exactly the same way. It is. As I said, Wolves Mobile have invested a lot to be the first and to offer this. It's the norm in Europe. You take the likes of Paris Saint-Germain and they've had their pay-as-you-go network for a very long time. So cutting edge, but just normal. It's exactly what they'd expect from Orange, O2, Vodafone. Instead of seeing Orange on the front of that mobile phone, you're going to see Wolves Mobile.
And if you do go for this, you've also got data rates as well?
Yeah, again, pay-as-you-go can be extremely, extremely expensive for data, and it's becoming more popular. People want to get onto Facebook, people want to listen to podcasts, and we've made it really cheap, really simple. So it's 11 pence a minute, 11 pence a text, and only 11 pence a megabyte as well.
So nice, easy to work it out, and that time with the 11 players on the pitch, I'm guessing.
Absolutely.
You see, I spotted the football.
And not only that, if you top up £10, you get 90 minutes worth of call time. There's a marketing genius gone into there somewhere.
As you've spent hours on this, haven't you? But that's not where the football stops with it, because between now and the 4th of November 2011, you have the chance of getting a free ticket to come along to a Wolves match as well, because for the first 200 people who pick up their SIM card for £10, they get 10 quid worth of credit, the SIM card, and a ticket to the Wolves-Stoke game in December.
Absolutely, yeah. It is a really big thing for the club, and we really wanted to make some noise, so we've decided that we're going to give the first 200 SIM cards 200 tickets. So if you fancy coming along, especially in December, can be quite expensive, mm-hmm. Get your SIM card, get your £10 credit, and we'll send you a buy return a ticket for the Stoke game.
However you want to think about it, basically you're actually looking at being able to pick up a ticket for a tenner and get free airtime, and you can keep your number or a brand new SIM phone number if you want to, and it's not a bad deal at all, is it, really? You can't argue with that.
Not rocket science. We just want to make sure that we're offering value from the start, which hopefully Wolves fans will see, and not necessarily Wolves fans. It's so cheap you don't have to be a Wolves fan if you're not and you just live in Wolverhampton. Get on our website and you can purchase it there and start saving money that way.
But maybe if you're looking at supporters up and down the country as well, they can show their allegiance to Wolves wherever in the UK they are by having Wolves Mobile on the front of the cell phone.
Believe it or not, we have had an order from Australia this week.
Right.
Who we had to email and ask him whether he wanted his free ticket sent into a UK address or was it just a souvenir going over to Australia. He'd be pleased to know he's coming over to watch the Stoke game.
And when he's over here, he can save some cash on the calls he's making rather than paying roaming rates. And he'll be able to ring his mates in the UK from his brand new Wolves Mobile phone number.
Absolutely.
And all you need is an unlocked phone or one that's actually tied maybe to the Orange network, because they're the main carrier. So they give you really good coverage across the UK as well.
Yeah, well, obviously, it's actually Everything Everywhere network, so it's Orange and T-Mobile, so mm-hmm. The best coverage in the UK by far. And again, that's one of the reasons we've chosen. We want to not just save people money, but it's phone's got to work, so mm-hmm. It's an excellent coverage for everyone using it.
And if people are travelling abroad, do you have roaming rates as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And there again, the same as your likes of your Orange or T-Mobile, it's obviously going to be a little bit more expensive just you're abroad. So we always urge to be careful when you're abroad and things like turn your roaming off with the data so mm-hmm. you don't do that. But it works abroad, again, in exactly the same way as you would currently if you're on pay-as-you-go.
So just like any other mobile network, but the price comparison works out in your favour, particularly if you've got other friends and family on the Wolves Mobile price plan with a SIM card. And not only that, but if you sign up quickly, you get a free ticket to a football match.
That's it.
Can't argue. I don't know. It's worth having a go. And it's basically to get your 10 quid and a match ticket. So it's really good value for money. And if it'd be interesting to see how many people you get signed up very quickly.
That's it. Well, the club's put a release on the website. So, again, it's on the official website under Wolves Mobile. We've also got our own website, which is www.wolvesmobile.co.uk. It's got your coverage checker on there, so you can go on there and check you've got coverage in your area before you buy. It's got frequently asked questions, so if you're not quite sure, you can ring us or get on there. And a nice click and you can pay online and we'll get your SIM card straight out to you.
It's easy as that. You'd even pay via PayPal as well, so you know it's
indeed.
Nice, safe and secure. So it's something you already know.
Absolutely.
So just pop along to wolvesmobile.co.uk for more information.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank
Good
you.
To see you as ever. And we can catch up with you soon as things develop on the network, because there may be more interesting stuff to talk about at a later date.
Certainly is.
Okay, we shall wait and see what happens there. Meanwhile, though, let's take another tune, our final one from Jay Foreman. This one is Dinosaurs.
I'm here on Westminster Bridge and there are dinosaurs. What the fudge, man, dinosaurs on Westminster Bridge. There's one on top of Big Ben. There's another on top of Big Ben. There's several sitting on the South Bank. And there's one paddling in the Thames. Of all the places I have been and all the scenes that I have seen, I've never seen a scene like this occur. Christopher Clark, BBC News, Westminster. There's a T-Rex standing by the London Eye and he's spinning it round really fast. And the Diplodocus doesn't seem to know what all the fuss is while he's skating round embankment on four double-decker buses. Westminster Bridge with all the dinosaurs. The police are out, but I don't think they'll do any good. The Triceratops has eaten all the nuts. The Velociraptor's eaten all the nuts. Stand, guys, there's one outside McDonald's. He's eyeing up the fatties trapped inside. And if one comes after me, I'll be killed immediately. Can you tell my wife that I love her? Christopher Clark, BBC News, Westminster. Christopher Clark, very afraid, pooing my pants, come to my aid. Here comes one now, I'd better keep still. I need to sneeze.
Dinosaurs from Jay Foreman, and that concludes episode 125 of The Milk Bar. And I know it's not been as long as normal today, but that is because I'm heading off to Norway, as I mentioned earlier on. I've got a few days away from work before I get back into the UK on Friday, ahead of Wolves' game against Wigan at the weekend. So I look forward to speaking to you all next week, when hopefully Zoe will actually be bothered to turn up in the studio. She better bought me a present back from a holiday, that's all I can say. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.